الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: بينما النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في مجلس يحدث القوم جاءه أعرابي فقال: متى الساعة؟ فمضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يحدث، فقال بعض القوم: سمع ما قال فكره ما قال، وقال بعضهم: بل لم يسمع. حتى إذا قضى حديثه قال: أين أراه السائل عن الساعة؟ قال: ها أنا يا رسول الله. قال: فإذا ضيعت الأمانة فانتظر الساعة. قال: كيف إذاعتها؟ قال: إذا وسد الأمر إلى غير أهله فانتظر الساعة، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه says: whilst Nabi صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was in a gathering speaking to a group of people, a Bedouin came to him and he asked, مَتَ السَّاعَةُ؟ When is Qiyamah? When will Qiyamah take place? What is the time and the date of Qiyamah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam continued with his speech and with his conversation, and he did not pay attention to the questioner. So some people said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has heard what he has said. He has heard the question, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has disliked the question. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked the nature of the question. There is no benefit in knowing when Qiyamah will take place. There is no benefit in knowing the time or the date of Qiyamah. So it was a futile question. A question the answer to which had no benefit for neither the questioner nor the public. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did hear the question, but he did not respond to him because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked the nature of the question, or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked the manner in which the questioner questioned. It was void of etiquette. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was engaged in talking to a group of people. So he should have respectfully waited for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to give him attention. Ask him, is there anything I can do for you? And thereafter he should have posed the question. But he interrupted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a group of people said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did not respond because he either disliked the nature of the question or he disliked the manner in which the questioner asked the question. He has heard the question. He is aware of the question. He is aware of the presence of this Bedouin. But he did not pay attention to reprimand him. Others said, Ballam yasma. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not pay attention to him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not respond to the question because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not hear the questioner asking a question. So these two opinions remained amongst the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain because they were only assuming. They didn't know why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did not pay attention. They didn't know why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not respond. And the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain used to go into such discussions to learn deen. Why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this? Why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do this? They would discuss amongst themselves. They would also inquire from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today we have seen you do something which we have never seen you do before. So the questions were not asked, discussions were not taking place because they were inquisitive for the sake of being inquisitive. No, they wanted to learn deen. So they started discussing amongst themselves that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not respond because he did not hear the question. The others said, no, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did hear the question, but he did not respond because he disliked either the nature of the question or either the manner in which he has posed the question. These two opinions remained amongst the participants of that gathering until حتى إذا قضى حديثه, until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam completed his conversation. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam finished what he had to say to the gathering, he said, أين السائل عن الساعة؟ Where is the questioner regarding the Qiyamah? Where is the questioner regarding the Qiyamah? So from amongst the two assumptions, one was negated. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did hear the question. That is why he is asking, Aina as-sailu anis sa'ati? Where is the questioner regarding the Qiyamah? So why did he not respond? He did not respond because number one, he disliked the nature of the question. That is one possibility. The other possibility, he did not pay attention because he disliked the manner in which the questioner asked the question. And there is a third possibility that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was waiting for an answer to this question from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aina urahu as-sa'ilu anis sa'ati? Where is the questioner regarding the qiyamah? So the Bedouin, the Sahabi radiyallahu anhu, who had come from the village, he said, Ha ana ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here I am, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was I who asked the question. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied and he said, فَإِذَا دُيِّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةُ فَانْتَذِرِ السَّاعَةِ. When al-amana is neglected, when the trust is neglected, when the al-amana trust, when the trust is neglected, when the trust is violated, then wait for the qiyamah, then expect the qiyamah. When did the qiyamah will take place? When trust will be violated, when trust will be neglected, when amanah will be violated, amanah will be neglected, then you should expect qiyamah. Then you should know that qiyamah is near. As far as the exact date and exact time of the coming of the hour, coming of the qiyamah is concerned, nobody knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ إِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has the knowledge of when qiyamah will take place. It is for this reason when Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam the same question, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. Inform me regarding the time of the qiyamah. When will qiyamah take place? On what date? At what time? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِعَلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The one who is being questioned does not know more than the questioner. So my knowledge and your knowledge in regard to the date and the day of Qiyamah is exactly the same. You don't know and I don't know. Both of us don't know. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was not aware of the date of Qiyamah, the time of Qiyamah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam did not like questions which had no benefit. A sahabi, another sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Matassa'ah, when will Qiyamah take place? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا عَدَدْتَ لَهَا. What preparations have you made for Qiyamah? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching him, nurturing him to think correctly. That instead of asking when will Qiyamah take place, each person should ask what preparations have I made for the day of Qiyamah. There is no benefit in knowing when Qiyamah will take place. And there is no harm in not knowing when Qiyamah will take place. But in preparing for Qiyamah, there is a lot of benefit. And in not preparing for Qiyamah, there is enormous harm. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam always used to nurture the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain. He used to do their tarbiyah and he used to teach them to think correctly and to use their potential and all their energies and all the abilities and the capabilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted them in doing things which were beneficial. A person should not use his potential, his ability, his capability, his energy, his resources in engaging in those activities, those talks, which does not bring any benefit. Sometimes neither in this world nor the hereafter. Sometimes it brings benefit in this world, but it brings harm to the hereafter.
So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in this case, when the Sahabi radiyallahu anhu asked, Mata sa'atu, when will Qiyamah take place? He said, Ma adatta laha. Instead of answering his question, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him a question, and as a result of this question, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is motivating him to think correctly. That we should not be wasting our time in asking those questions which do not have any benefit. We should ask those questions which bring benefit. And sometimes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain used to ask a question, would give an answer, but not answer to the question, would give another answer. For example, the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much of their wealth should they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much of their wealth should they spend in good causes? As far as the answer is concerned, each person should spend according to his ability and his means. So from one perspective, one angle, this was a futile question. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. O my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people are asking you how much they should spend in good causes, in causes which bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the answer is, it's common sense. Each person should spend according to his ability. If I earn 1,000 pounds and I need 900 pounds to survive, I should spend 100 pounds. And if I am earning 300 pounds and I need 250 pounds to survive, I should spend 50 pounds. Each person will spend according to his circumstances, according to his ability, according to his income, according to his dependence, according to his expenses. It is common sense. So there was no need to ask this question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give reply to this question. Allah, the question is, how much shall we spend? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers, this is where you should spend, not how much you should spend. This is where you should spend. So the question is, how much should we spend? And the answer is, this is where you should spend. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Whatever wealth you desire to spend, where should you spend it? فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ. Spend upon your parents. وَلَقْرَبِينَ. Spend upon your relatives. وَلِلْيَتَامَ. Spend upon the orphans. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Spend upon the poor, the needy. وَبِنِ السَّبِيلِ. And spend upon travelers who do not have the means to sustain themselves. So the question is, how much of our wealth should we spend? And the answer is, this is where you should spend. Now immediately the question will arise in the minds of the people reading the Quran, that the answer is not in accordance to the Quran, to the question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is their method of tarbiyah. This is their method of teaching. And by giving this answer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the companions that the question you had asked was not a beneficial question. The question should not have been how much of our wealth should we spend. It is common sense. Whatever excess wealth you have, you spend. The question should have been, where should we spend our wealth? This should have been the question. Similarly, The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, why does the moon decrease and increase? We sight the crescent on the first day and then it increases, 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 increases until it becomes a full moon on the 14th night. And then it begins to decrease until it vanishes. Why does the moon increase and decrease? What is the reason? What is the reason? What causes it to increase and decrease? The answer to this question would not have benefited the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain. What causes the moon to increase and decrease? The question should have been, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase and decrease the moon? So the question was, yas'alunaka 'anil ahilla. O my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ask you regarding the moon. Why does it decrease and increase? What causes it to increase? What causes it to decrease? What is instrumental in making the moon full moon and then decreasing to nothing? If we don't know, there is no harm. And if we know, there is no benefit. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrease the moon and increase the moon? What is the reason for Allah doing this? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the answer to this question. And as a result, He is teaching the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain that your question should not have been what causes the moon to increase and decrease. Your question should have been, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase and decrease the moon? قُلْ هِيَ مُوَاقِتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the reason for increasing and decreasing the moon is so that people can follow a certain calendar. And as a result, they are able to fast in the month of Ramadan, they are able to perform Hajj, they are able to organize their programs. So here also, the question is, Mata Sa'atu? When will Qiyamah take place? And the answer is, when trust is violated, then you should expect Qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain that you should not ask futile question. Ask a question which is beneficial. The question should have been, what are the ill deeds and what are the evil deeds that will lead people to the destruction of this world? That should have been the question. What are the evil deeds which will lead the people towards this destruction, the Qiyamah? And from amongst those evil deeds is, إِذَا ذُيِّيَتِ الْأَمَانَةُ فَانْتَذِرِ السَّاعَةِ. When trust is violated, when trust is neglected, then you should expect Qiyamah. Now the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu failed to understand what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trying to say. So he asked for clarity. He said, كيف إذاعتها؟ كيف إذاعتها؟ How will trust be violated? How will trust be neglected? Can you elaborate? From this, the ulama have deduced that when a student is learning from his teacher, when the musallis are learning from their imam, and if they fail to understand something that the imam is saying, then they should ask him. They should pose a question. They should say that, can we have more clarity? I have not understood. The student should not feel that if I say in the midst of this gathering that I have failed to understand, people will look down upon me, that this person is not very intelligent. No, you should not let haya prevent you from acquiring ilm. Imam Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala said that two things become barrier in acquiring ilm. One is haya. Haya. A person feels embarrassed in asking question, or pride. So embarrassment, modesty, arrogance, pride, these things become a barrier. لا ينال العلم مستحين ولا مستكبر. So from here we understand that is Sahabi radiallahu anhu, when he failed to understand in the midst of a gathering, he did not feel shy to say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that I have failed to understand your statement. Can you clarify it for me? And another lesson that we learn from here is that a teacher, after imparting his lesson or whilst imparting his lesson, if he is questioned by his students to repeat the lesson or repeat the particular mas'ala or the theme under discussion, then he should not get agitated. He should not become angry. He should not scold the students. Rather, he should try his utmost to explain again in a way that each and every student will be able to understand. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, regarding him, the Sahaba ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in say, إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ تَكَلَّمَ ثَلَاثًا. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to speak, he used to say whatever he wanted to say three times. There are various interpretations of this hadith. One is that whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to say something which is delicate, which is complicated, which is difficult to understand, he would always repeat it three times. إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ تَكَلَّمَ ثَلَاثًا. And in some narrations we find, حَتَّى يُخَذَ عَنْهُ. Whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something which was difficult to understand, he would repeat it three times so the gathering would be able to acquire what he desires to say, understand. So it is the responsibility of the teacher to teach in a way. It is the responsibility of the lecturer to lecture in a way. He should try his utmost to make the gathering understand what he is explaining to them. So this Sahabi radiallahu anhu said, how will trust be violated? How will trust be neglected? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam explained. He said, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَى غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَذِرِ السَّعَةِ. When responsibility is handed over to unqualified people, when responsibility is handed over to unqualified people, when deeni responsibilities will be handed over to unqualified people. For example, a Darul Ifta will have a Mufti. So that is a position. That is a Mufti holds a position in Darul Ifta. So someone who is not qualified to give fatwa is given the position of a Mufti. Similarly, leading the prayers, that is a position. Delivering sermons on the day of Friday, that is a position, dini position. Delivering durus of the Quran and durus of the ahadith, it is a dini position. Da'wah, giving da'wah, it is a dini position. Tabligh, conveying the message of deen to the masses, it is a dini position. In an Islamic state, being Amirul Mu'mineen, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was the leader of the faithful. Thereafter, Umar radiyallahu anhu was the leader of the faithful. Thereafter, Usman radiyallahu anhu. Thereafter, Ali radiyallahu anhu. It is a position, Amirul Mu'mineen. In an Islamic society, it is a position, being Amirul Mu'mineen. Similarly, Muazzin, the one who calls out the Adhan, it is a deeni position. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمُرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ, when deeni responsibilities, when deeni responsibilities, when deeni positions, when deeni authorities, when deeni powers will be handed over to those people who are not capable, who are unqualified, that is when trust will be violated. That is when trust will be neglected, and that is when you should expect Qiyamah. Why? Because when deeni positions are handed over to people who do not have ilm, people who are not capable means who do not have the level of taqwa that is required for that position, and who do not have the level of ilm that is required for that position, then you should wait for Qiyamah. So there is a khatib in the masjid who does not have that level of taqwa and that level of ilm which is required to become a khatib. There is an imam who does not have that level of taqwa and that level of ilm which is required for that position. The chairman of the masjid, the secretary of the masjid, the executive committee of the masjid, they do not have that level of taqwa, they do not have that level of ilm which is required to run a masjid. A group engaging in da'wah or tabligh, and from amongst them a person is made the amir, but that amir does not have that level of taqwa and that level of ilm which is required. So what will you expect from such people? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that from amongst the signs of Qiyamah is that ilm will be taken from the asagir. Ilm will be taken from the asagir. Asagir means juniors. And here, junior and senior, not in age, not in wealth, not in worldly positions. Junior and senior in ilm and in taqwa. So from amongst the signs of Qiyamah is that people will refer to that imam who has been appointed without capability. People will refer to that amir of his jamaat who is not capable, but he has been appointed as the amir. People will refer to that chairman of the masjid, that member of the shura of tabligh, who has been appointed as amir or as member of shura or as the chairman of the masjid, but he does not have the capability. He doesn't have ilm. He doesn't have that level of ilm. But people will refer to them, and when people will refer to such people, the guidance they will get will not be in light of Quran and Hadith. اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا. اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا. Before Qiyamah, people will make ignorant people their leaders. And this is how it will begin. The people will favor each other. People will do injustice. So the person who is capable for musalla, he will not be given that responsibility, and somebody who does not deserve will be given the responsibility. And slowly, 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 what will happen? Ilm will decrease. ilm will decrease. So each person who is in the position of authority will guide people without ilm. And when so many people in position of authority will begin to guide people without ilm, slowly, slowly, ilm and deen both will be lifted away from this earth. And thereafter, when ignorance will prevail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send qiyamah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ. When responsibility, authority, power is handed over to those people who are not capable, who are unqualified, فَانْتَذِرِسَّ, then expect qiyamah. My friends, when we look around us, do we not find that this is the scenario we are in? Who takes the final decisions in majority of the masajid throughout the world? The committees of the masajid, without even referring to the ulama. Sometimes we hear regarding certain masajid that there is a dispute, the committee desires to do something, and some ulama, some members of the public are saying, no, this is not permissible. This is not permissible. What you want to do is not permissible. From the muamalat point of view, from the transaction point of view, it is not permissible. It is not something which is clear haram that every person will be able to understand. Buying and selling, this is not permissible. How can you do this when buying a property for masjid or selling a property of the masjid? How? It's not permissible. So in order to satisfy the public, they will write to a Darul Ifta. And these are true incidents I am quoting to you. And even before receiving the fatwa from a Darul Ulum, the committee says that we have taken our decision, whether the fatwa is in our favor or not. If the fatwa is in our favor, alhamdulillah, without any conflict, we will be able to carry out what we desire. And if the fatwa comes against us, we will still carry it out, but with friction, no problem. This is what we are going to do. People do not understand their limitations, that these are our limitations, and when we reach this boundary, from here we need to refer to the ulama. From here we need to refer to the muftis. Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, he is from amongst the luminaries in the field of taqwa and also in the field of ilm, both great alim. And his most senior khalifa was again a luminary in both the field of tazkiyah, field of spirituality, and field of ilm, Mufti Mahmudul Hasan Sahib Gangohi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Very great alim. Very great mufti. Very big mufti. Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahib, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, is the student of Mufti Mahmud Hasan Sahib Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi. The most senior khalifa of Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya rahimahullahu ta'ala. So he is the spiritual student of Shaykhul Hadith. He is the khalifa of Shaykhul Hadith rahimahullahu ta'ala. But whenever a fiqhi question was posed to Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakiyya rahimullah ta'ala, and it was a delicate one, he would say, refer to Mufti Sahib. He would say, go ask Mufti ji. Was it that because Shaykhul Hadith could not answer the question? No. This was to teach the Ummah that everybody has their limitations. I am not a Mufti. And this is as far as an alim should go. Despite knowing the answer, this is as far as an alim should go. After this boundary, it is the responsibility of a mufti. But no, in dini institutes, masajid, da'wah and tabligh, In so many dini works, when a person becomes very, very powerful, he does not feel the need to refer to those people who have more knowledge than him. And this is from amongst the signs of Qiyamah, which we are seeing throughout the world. That people are being placed in positions of authority who are not capable, and they themselves don't understand their limitations. And even if they do, they will not remain within those limitations. So my friends, what we need to do is to worry about the day of Qiyamah. Day of Qiyamah is getting closer and closer. And whether the day of Qiyamah gets closer or not, our day of Qiyamah, which is our departure from this world, our death, that is definitely getting closer and closer. So let us worry about deen. Let us ask relevant questions. Let us turn to the ulama and ask them beneficial questions. Let us learn from them. And after learning, let us practice. Let us not follow our whims and desires. Let us not remain in a dream world, thinking of and wanting to do things which are not possible. Let us not waste our own time. Let us not waste the time of other people. Let us not put ourselves in problems. And let us not put other people in problems. And whenever we are granted the authority to give someone else the authority, especially in matters of deen, then we have to make sure that we appoint somebody who is capable. Otherwise we will be answerable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we have been appointed and we are not capable, then we should refuse that position. And if we feel that if I work hard I will be able to handle it, then work hard and make sure that you fulfill the rights of that position. And whenever you need assistance from other people, take assistance, make mashwara, refer to the ulama. And the ulama have stated that إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَذَرِ السَّاعَةَ. When authorities related to deen is handed over to those people who are not capable, that means those people who have not that level of taqwa and that level of ilm. And this hadith, that it is from the signs of Qiyamah, that people will refer to the juniors and take deen from them. The juniors in matters of taqwa, in matter of taqwa, and junior in matter of ilm. And this is what is happening today. This is what is happening today. That this is my leader, finish. Whether he is an alim, non-alim, he is my guide. He will guide me. So let us worry about our deen. We have to look at the seniors. Refer to the seniors, and the verdict of the senior will overrule the verdict of a junior. Senior in taqwa, senior in ilm. His verdict will overrule the verdict of somebody who is junior in taqwa and junior in ilm. So we should always refer to the God-fearing ulama, God-fearing muftis, and we should adapt ourselves to their teachings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك ولله الحمد رب السماوات ورب الأرض رب العالمين وله الكبرياء في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين.
ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت العز الأكرم. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا، اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين ومن المتطهرين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن أوليائك المقربين ومن علماء الربانيين ومن عشاقك وعشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن خدام دينك. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في على درجة الجنة جنة الخلد. اللهم إنا نسألك الرضاء بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى. اللهم باعد بيننا وبين خطايانا كما بعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة، فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان. اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم. اللهم امكر لهم ولا تمكر عليهم. اللهم زدهم ولا تنقصهم ولا تسلط عليهم من لا يرحمهم ولا يخافك فيهم. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلينا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك ونبيك، ونعوذ بك من شر ما عاد منه عبدك ونبيك. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. اللهم إنا نسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا ورشدا. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.